Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. That is Ezekiel chapter 34. And as we turn there, let me go ahead and tell you that we are opening up to a very critical point in the Bible story. Now, I can say that things are bad for the Israelites, but that is undermining what's going on here. Things are really bad for the Israelites in this chapter because their temple has been destroyed. The Babylonians have come by and taken them into exile. And we don't know how this feels, but to them it seems like God has abandoned them. What a terrible feeling that must be. And so, how did it come to this? How did it come to this when things are really bad for the Israelites? Well, part of the blame is on themselves, because as we read through the Bible story, we see that they continue to sin, they continued to do evil in the eyes of God. But there are also some fingers to point here. There are some people to blame for why things are so bad. So in Ezekiel 34, start with me in the middle of verse 2. Thus says the Lord God, "All shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, shall not shepherds feed the sheep?" Verse 3, "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the stray you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." We can see here that part of the blame is on the leaders of Israel, the shepherds as they're called. Because the priest, the Levites, the kings were responsible for taking care of the people of Israel. Like a sheep would the shepherd. They were supposed to feed them, to protect them, to guide them. And instead, the opposite has been happening here, as we just read. That instead of taking care of them, they've been abusing the people of Israel. They've been taking from them. They've allowed them to scatter and wander off from the Lord. And so looking at this, we see that these are the worst shepherds of all time. We wouldn't want these people to be in charge of us. But while things are really bad for the Israelites, well, as we continue reading in this chapter, we see that things won't stay this way. Join me now, starting in verse 22. Look what God says there. Ezekiel 34, verse 22. God says, "I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." So while things seem really bad, God promises them hope. He promises them that the shepherd will come by and rescue the flock. He will be doing what shepherds are supposed to do. So the question remains, who is this shepherd? Well, join me now where we will be spending the rest of our time here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'm going to read a little bit here. So go ahead and join me in verse 1. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. This is what Jesus is saying. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. What a relief. What wonderful news this is. Because listen, the servant David that we read about in Ezekiel 34 has finally come, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is this good shepherd promised to swoop in and rescue the people. And now is the time for the lost people to be found. Now is the time for the scattered to be gathered. And now the time has come for salvation to be brought to all people. But this is very good news for us also. Because what Jesus is saying here in John 10 wasn't just a message for these Jews that lived over 2,000 years ago. The message still applies to us today. It's still the same, that Christ is our good shepherd. And as we continue to read and talk about this passage, well, we are going to see what makes Christ the true good shepherd. But by reading this, I hope we will also be inspired and see why that we make Christ our good shepherd. So starting us off, let's notice that the good shepherd knows his flock. Now, does anyone here have any experience herding sheep or taking care of sheep? Okay, I figure. No one knows. Okay, so I did a little research for us. So we have a little bit of an idea and a little bit more of the context of what Jesus is talking about. So after a long day of traveling on the path and grazing in the field, the shepherd would put their sheep in a sheepfold. And as you can see, you know, I kind of think of this like an oversized dog kennel for sheep. This is basically what it is. It's a shelter that the shepherd will put his sheep in overnight. It will also protect them from any predators wanting to get in, any thieves wanting to take the sheep. And the next morning, the shepherd would stand at the door and he would call his sheep out. And he would know his sheep so well that before they left and wandered on the path, he would have an exact head count. He would know how many sheep are in his flock. He would be able to distinguish the sheep from other sheep, even though they all look alike. And I'm sure he would also have names for each individual sheep. But the shepherd also knows his sheep so well that he would notice if one was missing. He would notice if one wandered off. He would know if one was injured or sick and come by and take care of it. So what makes Jesus the good shepherd? Well, going back with me to John chapter 10, pick it up with me in verse 3. Verse 3, let me read that again. It says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus is the good shepherd because he knows his flock. This passage implies that our relationship with Christ is personal, that his knowing goes beyond just knowing a name. And so we need to unpack this idea a little bit more, because what does it mean for Christ to know us? Well, from what we read in different places in Scripture, it's clear that Christ knows all of our hearts. He knows what's in here. For instance, in the Gospels, we read a story in John chapter 4 about Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. She's never met him, he's never met her before, but yet he knows her. He knows that she's living with a man that isn't her husband. but he also knows that she is waiting and looking for the Messiah. John chapter 2, turn with me there. Let's see what it says in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, starting in verse 24. It says, John chapter 2, verse 24, but Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. These passages reveal that Christ knows everything about us. And listen, I don't know about you, but I have some mixed feelings about this. Because on one hand, the fact that Jesus knows everything about us makes us a little comfortable. Because he knows all of our secrets. He knows if we killed someone 30 years ago and got away with it. He knows if we're cheating on our taxes or cheating on any test. Jesus knows when we're by ourselves looking at things on this device and we delete our search history and we think, okay, no one's ever going to find out about this. Well, he knows. Now, while this idea makes us uncomfortable, it should bring us comfort as well, because Christ sees us when we're at the hospital, sitting bedside by a loved one that's about to pass away. He sees us. He sees us when we're by ourselves, crying, feeling alone, and feeling heartbroken. He sees us. Christ knows us because he cares about us. And because Christ knows us, he is calling us to know him. So what does it look like for us to know Christ? Well, going back to John 10, let's notice what the sheep do. Let's look at a few places. In verse 3, it says that the sheep hear his voice. Then in verse 4, it tells us that the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So what we see is that the sheep hear everything that the shepherd is saying. They are familiar with his voice, they know his voice, and they also follow him when he leads the sheepfold. And so when the shepherd calls for his sheep, they hear him, they follow him, they trust him, and they go wherever he goes. So this shows us that the sheep know and trust the shepherd. And frankly, this is what our relationship with Christ looks like, that as sheep, we listen, we follow, we trust the shepherd. And when we know him, well, it's important for us to be mindful of our place in this relationship with Christ. We are sheep that listen and follow and trust the shepherd. And I'm reminding us of that because our culture wants to flip this around today. Our culture wants to tell us that, hey, we are actually the leaders of our own path, right? Follow your truth. Whatever you do is the right thing to do. And if that's the case, we can create a Jesus that says the things that we only want to hear. We can create a Jesus that allows us to roam wherever we want to. Well, is that what this says? Do we really buy that idea? Because if we customize a Jesus that says the things that we only want to hear, if we customize a Jesus that lets us go and do whatever we want, do we even know the true good shepherd at all? The only way for us to know the true good shepherd is from learning from his word. We become familiar with his teachings. We know the difference between right and wrong. We can avoid walking down the wrong path. By listening to him, we know what it looks like to live a life that is led by the shepherd. But there's a thought that I want us to think about for a moment. We can look at the world today and see people that are lost and think, you know, they need to come to know Jesus. And absolutely, that's 100% true. But there isn't a point when we stop trying to know him. Because the fact that Christ knows us should inspire us to know him even more. If our goal is to have a stronger relationship with Christ, if we want to get closer to God, well, we have to put in effort to getting to know Him. We need to put in time, energy. We have to focus on getting close. And let me tell you that it can start with just reading His Word every day. Because as sheep, every single day, we need to listen. We need to be fed with the words of the shepherd so we can continue to grow and build this relationship. Because if Christ is our shepherd, well, let's continue to know Him. Jesus is the good shepherd because He knows His sheep. Do we know the shepherd? The more we read this passage in John 10, the more that's revealed about Christ. And one of these things that we see is that the good shepherd protects his flock. Now, because if a shepherd is going to be good at what he does, he's going to, well, I would say most importantly, keep the sheep alive. Keep them from any predators attacking. He's going to allow them to graze in the field with no worry at all. Now let's pick it back up in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I want to start now in verse 7. John 10 verse 7 tells us, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" Verse 10, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Back in the sheepfold, there was a door, of course, but the shepherd would actually sleep in front of the door overnight. That way he would prevent anyone else from entering, and of course he would know his sheep and allow them to enter the sheepfold. But what does it mean here when Jesus says that I am the door? Well, this is a pretty big claim Jesus is saying here. He is saying that Jesus is the only one who is going to grant life to the sheep. Because through Christ, in the sheepfold, there is safety, there is comfort, there is protection. So why do we make Christ our good shepherd? Well, we go to the good shepherd because He's the only one that gives us life. There's no other person we can turn to. But we also go to the good shepherd because He fights for us. Pick it back up with me in verse 11. Look what Jesus says there, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know his sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Being a shepherd, you know, when I was a kid, I thought being a shepherd was like watching a dog, like dog sitting. If anyone has ever dog sat, like Grace or Ty, you know that there's three rules to dog sitting. You got to feed them, you got to clean them, you got to walk them. That's pretty much it. And so when we think of shepherding, well, we may see the pictures of the sunshine and the rainbows and the green fields and the streams. But hey, in reality, it was a pretty dangerous job. And the Bible actually tells us about this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David talks about fighting off bears and lions to protect his own sheep. Now, if we were hired by someone to watch over their flock, well, they would expect us to care for their sheep. They would expect us to feed them. But they would also expect us to keep their sheep alive, right? Safe and sound. And this was the problem with the leaders of Israel. Because back in Ezekiel 34, God has anointed people to guide and protect His people. But we saw in Ezekiel 34 that the exact opposite happened. The leaders of Israel allowed their people to become prey to other nations. They let them wander off the path. And in Jesus' day, well, the Pharisees weren't that different. Because the Pharisees were cowards. They let the people get strayed away. They took from people. But this is why Jesus is the good shepherd. This is what makes him different from those hired hands. Is that he loves and rescues his flock. And he proved it by getting in the way of danger to protect us. And he took on the greatest responsibility ever. By getting in the way of death and dying on the cross so that we could live. Please remember that this is who our good shepherd is. And if he's our good shepherd, well, please realize that there's nothing that can separate us from him. If we are protected by the good shepherd, if our faith is in Christ Jesus, we are fully safe and protected in his arms. Now, how often do we think about that? A passage that often brings me comfort is found in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn there with me. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look what it says there in verse 38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pay attention to what it's saying there. Nothing can separate us from the arms of God. This means that there's no force powerful enough in the universe to tear us apart from the Lord. Satan himself can't come by and take us out of God's arms because we are fully protected in the arms of the shepherd. So it's important for us to remember this on our darkest days, when we're struggling, when we're hurting. We need to remember that the Good Shepherd is there with us. We make him our Good Shepherd because he protects us. Now, while this verse in Romans 8 is astonishing, there is nothing that can separate us from the arms of God. Can we separate ourselves? You know, David probably hates that I'm about to do this, but I'm going to use a movie reference, and even though he warned me not to, but it's Pixar, so hopefully it's innocent enough. Finding Nemo. The plot is in the title, first of all. Finding Nemo. They have to go find Nemo because he got separated from his dad. But the reason Nemo was separated is because he swam away in the open waters when he was warned not to. And of course, that's when he got swooped up by the scuba divers. Well, nothing can separate us from the Lord. We can willingly exit the door that we once walked through. And of course, people who do this ignore the consequences that follow, because if we willingly walked away from God, well, we become prey to the enemy now, because who can protect us if we separate ourselves from the protector? This verse is a reminder, but should also be a warning in Romans chapter 8, that we can't separate ourselves from the shepherd, because there are still dangers out there. If Christ is our shepherd, well, we must continue to be sheep that follow behind him and remain faithful. But please remember that if you have ever strayed away from the shepherd at any point of your life, he remains at the door with his arms open, waiting for us to return. Jesus is the good shepherd because he loves, he protects, he gives life to his flock. Are we protected by the shepherd? The last point that we see in John chapter 10 is that the good shepherd expands his flock. John chapter 10, I'll only read one verse. Look with me in verse 16. John chapter 10, verse 16. Look what it says there. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is saying that there are other sheep that aren't a part of this fold yet. And what he does is that he calls them to him. This included the Jews, this included the Gentiles, and this is a great news because Jesus is calling all of us to join him and be a part of his flock. Jesus is the good shepherd because he calls you and me to join him. And when we look at other places in Scripture, we really see how much God really cares and how much he really wants us to join him. A few places I'll look at. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd." In Matthew 18, this is the parable of the lost sheep, when the shepherd left the 99 to go find the one. It says in verse 14, "So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." We see other places in the New Testament that talk about God's compassion and love, such as 2 Peter 3:9. It tells us the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Jesus is the good shepherd because he cares about the lost. He has compassion on those who have wandered. He seeks out the one who has strayed away. He is patient, and he's calling all of us to repent and join him. And if Christ is our good shepherd, well, his love for us, well, it should inspire us to share this love he has with others by sharing the gospel, by having compassion on those who are wandering, by going out and seeking the lost. But if we aren't in his flock, he is calling us to him so we can be saved, cleansed, and healed. Is this what you need? If you are lost and wandering in the world, well, you don't have to look anywhere else because Christ is calling you right now to know him. And if we know Christ, we can be protected by the shepherd. He's protected us because he gave his life up for us, for dying on the cross so that we can be saved. And Scripture commands us that to be safe, we confess our faith in Jesus and we be baptized for the remission of our sins. So if there's anyone here this morning that is wanting to know the shepherd and be saved and join his flock, well, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.